children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, saving kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including in-school issues and addictions. If you know someone who go to a parent support group, either in person or by Zoom, give them our number and we will hook them up with a parent group in their neighborhood. Our number is 718-758-0400. Again, we have Zoom groups as well, so feel free to share our number. The groups are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights. Anyone that needs a parent group, feel free to give us a call on our confidential number. You can call anonymously. Describe a situation. You may need a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really, 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 really proud to be able to have on once again with us a frequent visitor on our show, and that is Menachem Pisnansky. He's a licensed clinical social worker. He is also an author, not of one book, but of two books. The first one, Stepping Out of the Abyss, A Jewish Guide to the 12 Steps. And now his new book, which is called Consciously, 6 Steps to Living Vibrantly with Our Creator. Menachem is an addiction and abuse prevention and recovery support therapist. He has served in the living room since 2004. It's been a division of the living room, is a division of our place. The wonderful program, the clubhouse for young adults and couples and recovery, the living room. It's such an important program that's been around since 2004. I want to welcome you on tonight. How are you, Menachem? Wonderful having you on.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you so much for having me, Rachama. Thank you to Mask, all the great work that you guys do. And it's always great to be here. So thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. And life has been really tough through COVID, Menachem. And both you and I know that there are so many young folks, young adults, young marrieds that are struggling with depression, anxiety, addiction, that you in your program at the living room and all the volunteers at our place that help these young people. It is a 12-step program that we know you encourage people to connect with. And I'd like to talk about, just for a minute, about your book, Stepping Out of the Abyss, A Jewish Guide to the 12 Steps. And what made you write that book? And then let's talk about how you became an author once again of this wonderful book called Consciously. What made you write this book, please?
Okay, so when I started working in the living room in 2004, we are very actively involved in supporting young people, young adults, who are involved in 12-step programs. And one of the things that happens when you work with a particular culture or community background, there, you know, it's especially when they're engaging an orientation like the 12 steps, there are a lot of questions around spirituality, religion, the use of spirituality as a therapeutic tool, which the 12 steps utilize. And a lot of people had a lot of questions, and both professionals, laymen, clergy. And after a period of time, I came to the conclusion with my friend Arya Buxbaev, who's a dear friend of mine and a colleague, that it was time for us to try to put something together that could speak to both laymen and clergy about some of the underlying ideas in the 12 steps, and to try to answer some questions that were being asked again and again and again. And that's really what the first book is about. It's really an introduction to the 12-step way of seeing addiction, and then also a look at how one could utilize perhaps a spiritual program to try to address a life problem in the way that the 12 steps address addiction, but they can be applied to other things as well. So that's how that first book happened. It's a lot of the material is very applicable really to anybody, but being that we were first got involved in that process to try to address the problem within the Jewish community, we kept it there. Now, one of the things that happened over time, you mentioned my second book, is that speaking to people about a higher power, about God, can be a loaded conversation. And you know, when you're a mental health professional, you don't always imagine talking to people about their belief in God, per se, as part of the therapeutic process. But if you think about it, particularly those individuals that are trying to utilize spirituality to help heal, God becomes a big question, or a creator, or a higher power. And that led me to my journey of writing the second book, which was seeking out within the ancient wisdom of Judaism, some program, and trying to conceptualize some kind of program that could help people build a relationship with a higher power that spoke to them. And that's really what the second book is about. It's utilizing mindfulness exercises and tools in order to create a sense of God consciousness, as they would refer to it in the 12-step program.
So when you use the term our creator, you want to explain what you mean by that, please?
So one of the things that you find in the 12-step programs, a great question, first of all, and one of the things you find in the 12-step programs, and like I said, you're working with a particular community, you would think, okay, well, all Orthodox Jews see God in the same way. But the truth is, that's not always true. It's almost never true. Everyone has their own kind of inner connection, an inner association, inner conviction about who and what God is. And one of the things that I found along the way is that even though many of us might not even feel comfortable with the semantical term God for whatever it is we're trying to connect to, and in 12-step programs, they use the euphemism higher power oftentimes, all of us have a sense of connectedness to our creator, to where we come from, to where we stem from, to that single point. If you were looking at it scientifically, you might say that moment just before or just after the Big Bang. And if you're looking at it from a religious standpoint, that moment when God decided to create reality. And we all come from there, and we can all have a relationship with that. And that's a kind of theme that I come back to again and again. It's not a theme that I made up. It's something I found in the ancient texts of Judaism. But nonetheless, I think it's something that can speak to anybody. We all have a creator. And at least spiritually speaking, we are all seeking out to connect with our creator, to connect with all of creation, where we come from and who we are and the system that we live in.
No, Menachem, people today that reach out, drugs, self-medicate, alcohol, gambling, whatever it may be, you know, those are people that are broken, or people that feel less than and are looking to grab a hold of something to fill their lack of, is by reading your book, it's so clear about becoming conscious. I mean, that's why you named it consciously, I'm sure. But to be more conscious about one's life and its imperfections, yes. But in your book, you talk about the relationship with God. And I'm wondering, not everybody, like you said, some people call it the higher power, some people call it Hashem in Hebrew, gods. Do you feel, or can you share what you feel about how it relates to everyone or anybody from your angle writing the book?
So one of the interesting things that the 12 steps kind of brought to the fore was an idea that was put forward by Carl Jung. Carl Jung was one of the fathers of psychology, of modern psychology. And Carl Jung put forward this idea. He was particularly talking about alcoholics, but he really kind of put forward the idea in a way that many people that are struggling, grappling with behaviors or with themselves, are really seeking something that we would have previously called spiritual. They're looking to connect with, they're looking to feel whole, to feel a sense of connection. And I think it's important for us to realize whether, however we associate or orient ourselves as relates religion, that we're all seeking to be spiritual, all seeking, let's say, if you wanted to frame it in a Viktor Frankl form of way, we're seeking meaning. We're seeking to understand who we are, where we are, and what we want to accomplish in this world. And a lot of that has to do with gaining a conception and a sense of comfort around the idea of God. Now, we can use the word, I think it's important to realize, we can use the word God, and that can feel very scary because for many of us, it means things that maybe we don't like or maybe we disagree with. But really, if we're trying to have a mature conversation about this topic, it's really about us trying to figure out how we can connect with a universal energy, whether that's all of humanity, the creation, or even a conscious creator that's trying to connect with us. And I think that those messages, I really believe that those messages are applicable to anybody. And I'll tell you, we work with a lot of people in the living room that are involved in 12-step programs. And of those people, we have ardent atheists, people that don't believe in God at all. And we have people that are very, very religious, extremely religious, what some people might call like ultra, ultra orthodox. And to watch an ardent atheist and an ultra, ultra orthodox individual have an open-minded conversation about spirituality and find that even though they disagree on many things, there is a certain maybe unknowable, maybe undefinable thing that they both agree on, that they both feel when they're in the room together with other people who are seeking to get well, which you oftentimes find in a 12-step meeting, to see them have that conversation and then participate in that is a very, very meaningful thing. It's a very healing thing. This is something it's hard for me to like. I don't want to get too lost in a philosophical conversation about it because it's experiential. When you feel that connection, you know, it's the same kind of thing I think that people feel when they go to a sports game and the team wins in the, you know, in the bottom of the ninth in a baseball game or at the end of the fourth quarter, a last minute buzzer shot. There's a certain elation that you feel and you can hug everybody around you. And it doesn't matter whether you knew each other before or not, you're both dedicated to the same team. And this is on a much more meaningful level. When you feel that you're part of something, a greater whole, a greater purpose, a greater sense of connectedness on a spiritual level, it's incredibly nourishing to our spirits, and it's healing on a very, very deep level, not only spiritually, but also emotionally. And that's what we're trying to kind of tap into. And I think that is available and accessible to anybody. Now, mind you, someone who's religious is probably going to be more motivated to read a book like this and perhaps might be able on the external side get more out of it. But I think part of what this journey of writing this book helped me to realize and working with individuals in recovery who are seeking spirituality but don't always feel connected to, let's say, a spiritual expression of spirituality, and maybe even are atheists, is that the God idea, if we strip away what it means on an external level, the God idea is applicable to anybody, and it nourishes all of us. That spiritual sense of comfort is something that we all need desperately.
Yes, and you do have a chapter on tapping into heaven and with meditation exercise. Do you want to quickly go through that?
So one of the things that the book talks about is that really practically through all the ages, and this is present through not just Jewish texts, though that was what I mostly relied upon, but I know it's present in other texts, is that learning a discipline of mindful reflection and meditation is critically important to being able to develop that sense of spiritual connectedness. It's just critically important. At the end of the day, action is critically important. Doing good things is critically important. Right action, doing the next right thing, as they might say in the recovery process, is critically important. But at the end of the day, developing a sense of connectedness with a higher power, with our creator, with God, with Hashem, is really only becomes possible when we develop our ability to think consciously. Now, one of the things that's interesting, it's important to point out, is that you bring up the word meditation, and many people run in the other direction because people's association of meditation can be very intense, right? They think of meditation as sitting on top of a mountain with your legs crossed, right? Or being able to sit and not think about anything else for minutes or even hours, right? And that feels like it's too much. We don't have the time for that. And one of the things we focused in on the book is the way in which a person can develop a mindfulness practice that's really very quick and really very light and really very easy, but really makes a difference. And one of the things that I focused on in this book is that they're really things that I picked up and I utilize myself. I'm not like I'm not anybody. And yet practicing these steps that we talked about have really transformed my experience, both of Judaism and of my life. And it doesn't take a lot of time, but it takes the ability to direct my attention and focus towards a particular thing. And there's two kind of main meditation, mindfulness meditations that it has. One entails setting aside a specific set of time, both once a week and once a day, once a week for longer and once a day for very short, to think about what it is that we're working on spiritually. And the other one is to set reminders throughout the day to draw our mindset back to what's most important to us. Now, that might seem rudimentary, and I think it is rudimentary, but it's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly meaningful, and it's incredibly full of depth. That the human mind has tremendous capacity, and if we just give it a little bit of attention, it pays dividends in a remarkable way.
Thank you. So, Menachem, at the end of the first section, you say that there's first three steps in the process you lay out in the book relate to anything. I'd like you to tell me, it says, be clear about your purpose. 1, 2, understand the nature of the challenge and develop a hope for achieving our goals. And 3, develop a strong willingness to act. Can we go through those, please?
Yeah, so that's great. It's a great thing to talk about. I think that that idea I really took from, to be honest, from the 12 steps. I mean, I did find it actually in an ancient Jewish text, but the 12 steps touch on this in such a powerful way. And some of it's counterintuitive. It's really important that we know what it is that we're doing. In the 12-step program, it's like really important that a person recognizes what it is that they're powerless over, what the problem is. But even, let's say, if we weren't using a problem orientation, it's really important to spend the time necessary to clarify what it is we're trying to accomplish. Every good project in any good business has a mission statement, has a plan, has a sense of what it is we're trying to accomplish. And when you don't take the time to do that, to figure that out, and sometimes that means sitting with a therapist or a consultant or a life coach to figure out what is it that I'd like to accomplish. And it's like, well, I don't have time to figure out what I want to accomplish. I need to get busy accomplishing. And oftentimes to kind of slow ourselves, to slow people down and to say, no, it's worthwhile to spend the time to really get a sense of where it is you're trying to go, what your meaningfulness is, what your mission is, and what your purpose is. But then after you do that, sometimes the tendency is to want to jump in. But one of the things that you find in the 12-step program, and this happens in step 2, is that before a person can jump into the process, to the work of trying to uncover, discover, and discard negative things that are holding them back, which the person does in step 4, is that they do step 2. And the focus of step 2 is to develop a sense of hope that I could get better. To develop a sense of hope that I don't have to live in my problem. And if we're not using a problem orientation, to develop a sense of hope that I can actually accomplish the mission that I want. Because oftentimes I have a sense of what my goal is, what my aspiration is, what my mission is, but I don't really believe I'm going to get there. And spending the time to develop that sense of hope becomes critically important to be able to move forward. And then finally, the third piece is to develop the sense of willingness. Because sometimes it feels like if I know my mission and I know I can get there, then I have to be willing. But sometimes as humans, we're just not willing to do what it takes to do what we need to do. We just don't have the willingness. And utilizing tips and tricks, some of which we go through in the book, some of which you can find in all sorts of literature, definitely in 12-step recovery literature, and this is one of the places where God can come in, prayer can come in, is doing exercises that can help a person generate the motivation and willingness to actually act on what they think they feel that they should do and what they have a hope that they can do, but maybe aren't willing to do. And when you combine those three things, and these are practices, honestly, that I try to focus on in the beginning of every single day. When I practice it on those three things, now I begin the process right-footed. I begin the process with 2 feet firmly planted on the ground, moving forward, knowing where I'm going. And when challenges come up, I don't get distracted. I don't get pushed off. I don't get tripped up, right? And that's a critical component. And in the book, we talk about that. And that actually plays in the first three steps of the 12 steps, but really in any area of life.
Menachem, you say that part of developing a relationship with the higher power, God, means reducing our desire to feel like a self-made person. Yeah, there are people that feel they are self-made, and I'm wondering how you bring it up in the book, if you can talk about, is that so bad to feel self-made? We know everything comes from God.
So this is an interesting thing that the ancient texts in Judaism talk about that I think is a really important thing. What they talk about is that there is a tendency to want to feel self-made. And there's really two sides of that tendency. One side of that tendency is really good. That side of that tendency is to have a sense of appreciation for the successes that we're having, to feel good about what we've done and what we've accomplished. But there's another part that's really somewhat delusional, that's kind of disconnected. And it's really driven by a part of us that doesn't want to feel vulnerable. It doesn't want to feel vulnerable to others, to our need for others, to the way in which we require support, encouragement, direction, inspiration from other people. And therefore, we like to walk around with a certain gusto that we don't actually believe. And that I talk about in the book and the ancient texts talk about is a tremendous stumbling block that can really take a person away from having the spiritual success, the success that they want in lives. To really try to strip away that tendency. And one of the things that the ancient texts of Judaism talk about is that tendency actually is rooted in our faith in God. Not only our faith in God, but our faith in ourselves, our faith in other people, and our ability to rely on others, and our ability to rely on God and to be vulnerable to others, and to utilize spiritual principles in order to try to counteract those things. Or else we walk around like a hot air balloon, and very easily we can kind of get stumbled. We can stumble and kind of get off our beam.
So, Menachem, it's important at the end of your book, you really go much deeper and you really challenge people to look at their relationship with God around anger and resentment to others, resentment about one's life, resentment to God. Can you talk about the importance of doing that?
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up. I think it's really important to realize that part of a healthy and mature relationship with God is the realization that if I'm saying that there's a God in charge of the world, that means that God is responsible for what's wrong in my life. Even if there are people that are responsible for the way that they hurt me, God allowed those people to hurt me, there are deep, kind of complicated philosophical questions that come up when a person has a vibrant relationship with God, or when a person starts to live their lives spiritually or perhaps consciously. And one of the things that this comes up also in the 12-step process, actually a vital part of the fourth step, is taking a look and trying to develop our ability to manage our resentments, our anger, our frustration. Because one of the things that happens when you become conscious of your life is you become conscious of the fact that you're unhappy about all the ways in which people are mistreating you. You know, when a person's going on in their life, self-medicating, avoiding, running away from their problems, right? They're not as angry about the things that make them unhappy or the people that make them unhappy, because they distract themselves from it. They, you know, something happens that they don't like, and it, it almost becomes a good excuse to be able to go out and do what they actually want to do. But when they put down the drugs or the alcohol, oftentimes what people in recovery find out is that they have a laundry list of resentments and that they have to work through. Now, but in addition to the fact that it's critically important to overcome those resentments in order to start a spiritual process, one of the things I talk about at the end of the book, and I think this is the part that's maybe the most intense or the most challenging to the reader, is that if you want to have a healthy and mature spirituality, you are going to have to face the fact that sometimes a relationship with God means being annoyed, being angry, being frustrated, being disappointed, and being able to look at those things and not ignore them. Because you can't have a real relationship with God unless you can face those things, unless you can look at those things. And even if we know, even let's say we have faith that, well, God doesn't do anything that's not for the best, or God doesn't give me a challenge I can't overcome. Even if someone believes that, at the end of the day, I might know that, but that doesn't mean I necessarily feel that way. Human beings, we often find that we don't agree with our feelings. Let me frame it that way, right? We have feelings that we don't agree with. We don't like, but we have them. And part of having a real spirituality, part of having a real relationship with God, means a relationship with God that admits those feelings that when we get sore, when things don't work out the way that we want to. And it means putting the effort in. It means putting the work in. And we go through some of that in the book. And some of the things we talk about is to have a vibrant spirituality really means to seek out those supports that can help us overcome those things, because I can't give you the answers. This book can't give you the answers to all those questions. Sometimes that means a support group like MASC or something like the Living Room or a therapist or some clerical support. Just finding help and support that can help you overcome the challenges of this life, which is not always so simple and easy, even if it's wonderful.
Wow. Thank you, Menachem. Again, we have Menachem Ansky, the author of Consciously, his new book, Six Steps to Living Vibrantly with Our Creator. And let's not forget his second book, which is actually his first book, Stepping Out of the Abyss, A Jewish Guide to the 12 Steps. Everyone that's struggling with a family member or themselves should pick up these books. They're amazing. You can get it on Amazon and in your regular bookstore. I want to thank you, Menachem. And just before we end, I'd like you to just tell my listeners Living Room, please.
The Living Room, so it's an honor. The Living Room is a clubhouse for Jewish young adults. We're actually an oasis recovery clubhouse for youth, focused in on supporting the Jewish Orthodox community. We support young people, young adults, singles and couples who are seeking to establish a long-term sustained life of recovery. And we provide all the different supports that you can imagine that they might need. We don't provide any treatment. We're not a treatment provider, but we help people connect with treatment supports and provide enrichment and other supports and other types of recovery support.
Well, thank you, Menachem, for everything you do for the Klal and for the children that are suffering with addiction, the young adults. I want to thank you very much for being on with us and for these two wonderful books. And I want to wish you continued success with everything that you do. And anyone that wants to reach Menachem Pitnacki, you're welcome to give us a call, and we'll make sure that he gets your message at 718-758-0400. Don't forget to order his books. Thank you, Menachem.
Thank you so, so much, Rahama. It's an honor and a privilege to participate with MASC and to be with you here on the show today. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. And anyone that wants to listen to any of the previous shows, you can go on to maskparents.org. Also, to donate online, again, maskparents.org. And I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Thank you, and have a good night.
I'm Dr. Dave Choksi. You've probably heard a lot about the more contagious Delta variant of COVID-19. In New York City, Delta is causing almost all new COVID-19 cases, which means that if you're not vaccinated, you're much more likely to get infected. But all of the authorized COVID-19 vaccines do offer strong protection, particularly against severe illness. Delta is concerning, but there is hope. Vaccination is our way out of this pandemic.
Talkline Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.